So, good afternoon. My name is Ana Llagostera, and I'm here to present this work, which is called Unsupervised Extraction of Audiovisual Objects, which was done in collaboration with Pierre van der Gens at EPFL in Switzerland. So first, I will start with a brief introduction about general audiovisual signal processing. Basically, we have a video signal here, an audiovisual signal, which is composed of two modalities, that's the video part and the audio part. The video part is recorded with a camera and the audio part with a microphone. There could be more cameras and microphones, but here we prefer to address the most simple problem, but it's also the most common in this domain. So the video and the audio signals, they are very different, but they share a temporal axis. The resolution of this axis is different. Typically, we have much more audio samples than video frames because the sampling rate of the audio signal is higher. So the main idea in general signal processing is to combine audio and video modalities in order to extract a maximum amount of information about a given scene. So there are several applications, like for example in speech recognition you can use the video modality in order to better understand speech, or you can use and combine the information in both signals in order to locate the sound sources. Here mainly in this domain, the main assumption is that related events in both channels, they happen more or less at the same time. So in this case, for example, we have a guy who's playing a guitar, and the guitar sounds, they are correlated with the movement of the hand. So they happen more or less at the same time. So that's the main assumption that we will use in this work. So now let's go to the goal. What we want to do in this work is to extract the audiovisual objects in the scene. It looks like this. We have a sequence where there are two objects. The first object, or speaker in this case, is associated to the soundtrack, and there is another person which is moving the lips, but we cannot listen to the sounds. So this is the distractor, and this is the audiovisual object. What we want to do is to extract the video part which is associated to the soundtrack, without the interference of the rest of the part. Why do we want to do this? It's because mainly applications in this domain, they don't use the entire signal, they just use the part of the signal which is associated to the soundtrack. In lip reading, for example, you just need the speaker lips or the region around the mouth, and we don't care if there is another person or there is a table just by it. So that's the main idea. The strategy that we are going to follow is this one. First, we have this sequence, and what we want to do is to identify the regions whose motion is correlated to the soundtrack, the regions of interest for audiovisual analysis. For this purpose, we would use a nonlinear audiovisual diffusion approach. Once we have here a map of the correlation between the motion in these regions and the soundtrack, the darker is the region, the most correlated is this structure with the soundtrack, then we can extract the video regions which are mostly correlated, which are in white here. As you see in this sequence, for example, we had this person whose speech was we were listening, and we can extract this part. And then once we have this starting point, we want to use a segmentation approach. We'll use graph cuts in order to extract a broader region, a broader area, which is more or less correlated to the soundtrack. So we want to extract a region which is homogeneous in color and which has a high synchrony with the soundtrack. That's the first part. So we want to know where the sound sources are. Here we have, we use this audio-based video diffusion, and that was presented in ICASP last year. And the idea is to remove all video information which is not associated to the soundtrack. We want to preserve just the information which is interesting from an audiovisual point of view. In this case, for example, there is a hand playing a piano and there is an object moving in the background. We would like to preserve this information and blur what is not interesting for us. To do it, what we do is we define an audiovisual diffusion coefficient, which is a function of the synchrony between the motion and the sounds. Here we see this diffusion coefficient. It's a function of this. And this audiovisual synchrony measure is a combination of audio energy and the temporal derivative of the video signal, which is the motion in the videos. Then we convolve this with a Gaussian in order to reduce the effect of noise. As you can see here, this diffusion coefficient is a function of this synchrony measure. When the synchrony is high, then the diffusion is stopped. The diffusion coefficient is close to zero, the diffusion is stopped. When the synchrony is low, so the video structure and the sounds are not correlated, then the diffusion coefficient is constant and equal to 1, and the region is blurred. Here are the results on this sequence. So I'm not sure if you see it, but here the contour is still quite sharp, but it's difficult to see if this diffusion affects more the audiovisual object or this distractor. So let's see what happens in the motion in the signal. Here we have, I'm not sure if you see it, but we have the motion in this frame, which is equally, it has equal magnitude in the distracting moving object, so in the head of the rocking horse and in the audiovisual object. And after the diffusion procedure, we are here, and it's the main intensity of the motion is situated in the audiovisual object. Now, if we don't want to penalize regions with low motion, what we need to do is to compare the motion after diffusion to the motion before this diffusion, so that we see how each region has been diffused through this process. Here is the result. And again, you don't see much, but if we plot just the highest values for these features, we see that at the beginning, we have the highest values for the original motion, which are equally distributed between the audiovisual, the distractor and the audiovisual object. So we have more or less the same points in the hand and in the head of the horse. After diffusion, most of the highest values are already situated in the hand, which is generating the sounds. And finally, when comparing both, there are just two spots in which the highest values are misclassified. So now let's see, we have the points where we have the highest correlation. And what we want to do is to extract the entire region. So what we do is we use an audiovisual segmentation approach. We need some starting point from the segmentation process. We fix like the seats for the source. So the starting point for the source are the point, the pixels with the highest audiovisual coherence, the pixels or the regions which move accordingly to the soundtrack. And since we don't want to make any assumption of the background, we don't want to say the regions which are less correlated to the soundtrack are the background. We don't want to make this assumption. We don't know anything about the background. What we do is to distribute randomly the seats for the background everywhere. And then we don't fix any seat in silent periods because we don't want to condition the result. In silent periods, we don't know what is the source because, in fact, there is no source. So that's better not to affect the result and do not fix any sources. And those are the results with our method. And I will explain now how, from this starting point, we reach to the result. So what we use is a GraphCAD segmentation approach. And we introduce an audiovisual term whose purpose is to keep together regions with high audiovisual synchrony. So we have, typically we want to minimize this equation. First we have the regional term, which compares the color of each pixel with the estimates of color for background and foreground. Then we have the boundary term, which keeps together pixels, neighbor pixels, which similar color. And we define this audiovisual term so that it keeps together regions which present a high audiovisual synchrony. So those first terms were commonly used, and the last term is new. So let's study more deeply the audiovisual term. As I said before, it links together regions with high audiovisual synchrony, but in contrast, it doesn't affect regions with low synchrony. So what we do is we define it like this, and it is proportional to the audiovisual coherence. So when two neighbor pixels have high and similar audiovisual synchrony, then we keep them together through the segmentation process. It's like a block. In contrast, when two pixels, neighboring pixels, have different audiovisual synchrony, they are likely to be situated in a border and we don't affect them. And when the audiovisual coherence is low, we don't do anything. This term doesn't affect the segmentation. And we let the other terms, the regional term and boundary term, to affect the result. So here are the starting point of the segmentation, so the seeds for the source. For the background, they are distributed everywhere, so I didn't put it there. But here we see that, in this case, this person is speaking. Most of the seeds are in the mouth of this person. Then the right person is speaking in the bottom line. And that those are the results without the audiovisual term. So we extract just a part of the mouth of the speaker. And when we add this audiovisual term, the entire mouth of the speaker is classified as a block, and we can extract a broader region. So in this case, we extract the entire face or the entire mouth region. Let's compare our method with previous methods, which can be found here. The main difference between our method and previous methods is that they assume that pixels or regions presenting a low audiovisual synchrony, they cannot belong to the foreground. They cannot belong to the source. In our case, we don't make this assumption since we want to extract a region which is homogeneous in color so that we can extract regions, for example, like the forehead of the speaker. In their case, as you see here, the forehead is not extracted. We cannot extract the entire face because we assume that if the synchrony is low, this region cannot be part of the source. In our case, since we don't make this assumption, the results are more satisfactory. Some more results with this tracking motion. Here, left person is speaking and the right person is just moving the lips. We extract the correct speaker. Then when we have general audiovisual sources. That's why we don't use a face detector, because we want to extract any kind of audiovisual sources, not just speakers. So here we extract the hand which is playing the piano, and the rocking horse is not extracted. And what happens if we have two persons that speak at the same time? In fact, we don't force our algorithm to choose in between. In some frames, one person will be more synchronized, or there would be more seeds in the mouth of one person. In the other frame, there would be more seeds in the mouth of the other person. But in general, we can extract the two of them. We don't make any assumption about just one source. Some results, some video sequences. Here we have the first of them is with speakers. We have alternating speakers. So first, the right person will speak, and then the left person will start speaking. We would like to extract first the face of the right person, and then the face of the left person. Let's see the result.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
So when the right person stops speaking, our method is able to stop the extraction, and we switch and we extract the correct person at every time. Let's see the results with general audiovisual sources and with the distracting motion. As you see here in the first frame, there is, well, we have a hand which is playing a piano again, and there is a fan moving in the background during the entire sequence. Then in the first frame, we extract this audiovisual object, the object which is interesting for us, but we extract a little bit of the fun. But we'll see that this disappears fastly and we keep on extracting the hand the entire sequence. Why do we extract also the keyboard? The thing is that when the hand is pressing the keys, there is some motion in the keys which is associated to the soundtrack. It happens at the same time that the sounds occur. This is normal because we are pushing the key and then the sound occurs at the same time. So this, there are seats which are situated on the keys of the keyboard. Since this region is also homogeneous in terms of color, we start extracting and we extract the entire keyboard. Notice, however, that we don't extract the black keys because they are not present at any time. So some discussion. So I have presented a method to extract audiovisual objects from a scene. This method is based on the main assumption in this domain, which states that motion happens at the same, well, related events in audio and video channels are more or less synchronous. So the video motion is more or less synchronous with the appearance of the sounds in the soundtrack. And our method can deal with any kind of audiovisual sources, even with different multiple audiovisual sources with different activity patterns. We are able to extract more complete audiovisual objects since we don't require all the region to be associated to the soundtrack. And the main limitation is that we cannot, since our approach is unsupervised, we cannot control the aspect of the extracted region. So we could make it semi-supervised and say we want this region to look like this, but then we would compromise really the unsupervised spirit of this approach. The thing that is that with a semi-supervised approach, what we could do is, for example, to when we have an audiovisual sequence where there are multiple sources, we could allow the user to choose the source to be extracted and then extract both the video part of the source, know the temporal activity of the source, and extract also the audio part of the source. So if you have some questions.
Okay. Thank you. And we have time for just one fast question. No question, so we can... Oh, please.